now our feature presentation.
This is 1A. I'm Todd Zwillick.
I think I'm sick.
What? What's going on? What kind of symptoms do you have?
Can't swallow. Severe headache.
What's your temperature?
101.8.
Well, if that sounds a little bit like real life, that's for good reason. It's a scene from director Steven Soderbergh's 2011 thriller, Contagion. That movie came out almost a decade ago, but to a lot of you, it's never felt more current.
I sat down and watched Contagion the other night.
My wife and I just recently watched Contagion.
My daughters and I have watched Contagion because it offers us comfort.
And as I watched it, I realized that it was almost comforting.
I guess I'm watching kind of for some guidance, maybe.
It was also nice to see competent professionals working in the movie.
It's got a hopeful ending. It's got some courageous scientists who find a vaccine. And it's scary, and at the same time, it is positive and redemptive.
Just a few of the many messages that you left in our inbox. Today, we're convening the 1A Movie Club with a get-together about Contagion, which has surged in popularity online in the last couple of months. We'll be talking about the entire film, spoilers and all, although I have to say, Contagion is 9 years old, so the statute of limitations on spoilers has clearly expired. You'll still want to see it after this conversation, trust me. Joining us from KPCC in Los Angeles is John Horn, who's the vice president of the 1A Movie Club. He's also host of KPCC's The Frame, which is a daily arts and entertainment show. John, welcome back to 1A.
I am here in my quarantine studio. Happy to be with you.
Hermetically sealed. With us from Philadelphia is Sam Adams. He's the senior editor of culture at Slate. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
And with us from Newport Beach, California, is Pamela Rutledge. She's a media psychologist and the director of the Media Psychology Research Center, a research nonprofit based in California. Pamela, hello to you.
Hi, everybody. Great to be here.
Now, John, I know this episode of the 1A Movie Club is a little unusual because this movie is not brand new, but it is tradition to start by asking each of you to rate the film out of 5 stars and briefly tell us why you chose that rating. Half stars are allowed. So, John Horn, go ahead. How many stars?
I'm going to give it 5. I love this movie when it came out. I watched it the other day, actually, while donating platelets at the Red Cross, which was its own kind of bizarre experience to be watching this movie in a Red Cross setting. Not only does it hold up really well, it's got great science in it. Scott Burns, a screenwriter, did a fantastic job of researching what a pandemic looks like, how it's treated, how it isn't treated. It was great when it came out. I think it's even better now.
Sam, how about you?
I would probably go 4.5. I agree with John. I mean, it just seems spot on with so much of what's going on right now. It does get a little sort of Planet of the Apes toward the end, I think, as the pandemic grows out of control. But it's, you know, very frightening and prescient at this point. So, yeah.
4.5 stars from Sam. Pamela, how about you?
Well, I would have given it a 4 at the time. But you know, that's not really my movie cup of tea. But given what it's doing right now for people and how it's showing some really positive things and giving people some answers, I think it's a 5.
Pamela, I agree with that. At the time, I did see Contagion when it came out, but it was a long time ago. I remember feeling kind of 4-ish about it, maybe 4.2-ish. I watched it last night. I was feeling 5+. It was just so, I mean, it's just, I'm floored how uncanny it is, how true to life. When you're living through a version of this, it is fiction, but so well researched that what plays out from the perspective of the public health experts and the disease responders, it just feels like so on the nose. So John, tell me about your experience watching this film now during this pandemic. You mentioned you were giving platelets, of course, but
yeah, so
I noticed
kind of an odd setting.
It is weird, but you're watching on your iPad there. I mean, I noticed just a ton of new things this time that I never noticed the first time. How about you?
I did too. And one of the things that I think is really notable is about contact spread. So the film is shot by somebody called Peter Andrews, which is actually Steven Soderbergh. He doesn't use his own name for legal reasons as a cinematographer. There's so many great shots of people touching things. It could be a seat in a bus. It could be a poker chip. It could be a cocktail glass. And very early on, Kate Winslet, who plays a doctor at the CDC, says, I'm quoting her now, the average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. Mm-hmm. In between that, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other. That's like in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And all of us, I'm sure, are very aware right now of how we touch things, what we do touch, what else has been touched. And then there's so much kind of detail about the way people react to a crisis, the hoarding, the looting. Jude Law plays a blogger who's trying to make money off the pandemic by selling this false cure called Forsythia. There's a lottery about who's going to get the vaccine first. There's people trading on inside information. Unlike U.S. senators, it's not stock. It's about when to evacuate certain cities. So much of what it has feels so right and so on the nose. And it's also really tight. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of superfluous subplots. And we heard the music from Cliff Martinez coming out of your first segment. Really great score by Cliff Martinez. I just think it's a super succinct movie. And listen, any movie that kills off Gwyneth Paltrow in the first 5 minutes is really bold.
Now, can I tell you that I had the exact same thought? I was like, extra 0.3. for that. Nothing against Gwyneth, but a little bit against Gwyneth since she's been gooping. I have a problem with that whole thing. So I have to admit I got a little bit of personal satisfaction out of seeing her character go so early in the film. Now, John, you mentioned Kate Winslet's character talking about some of the realities of virus spread. I'll get everybody's take in just a second. Here's a clip.
The average person touches their face 2,000 or 3,000 times a day.
2,000 or 3,000 times a day?
3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, elevator buttons, and each other. Those things become fomites.
Is this something we want to release to the press? Respiratory and fomites?
And how's the public going to react to that?
Hard to say. A plastic shark in a movie will keep people from getting in the ocean, but a warning on the side of a pack of cigarettes...
We're going to need to walk the governor through this before we start to freak everybody out. I mean, we can't even tell people right now what they should be afraid of. We tried that with swine flu, and all we did was get healthy people scared. It's the biggest shopping weekend of the year.
I think we need to consider closing the schools down.
And who stays home with the kids? People that work at stores, government workers, people that work at hospitals. When will we know what this is?
That's Kate Winslet playing Dr. Aaron Mears, who works for the CDC as a disease investigator. Sam, I heard so much in there just going down the checklist like, yep, that's happening. That's happening. That's happening. Just absolutely uncanny. How are you feeling when you're watching this film?
I mean, people started rewatching Contagion. I think I started to see it in January, definitely February. And I was just like, why in the heck would you do that? This is the last movie in the world I want to watch right now. Then someone came up with the idea that I should interview the screenwriter a few weeks ago, and it was like, okay, well, I guess I have to watch it now. So I was terrified to watch it, and it was interesting to hear the clips at the top of the show. The one person said they felt comforted by it, and I found it to be that way as well. It is very much a horror movie. This is, except instead of don't go down to the basement, don't investigate that loud noise, don't pay with a credit card, don't touch that subway pole. Just these little acts of everyday touch that we can't avoid are the ways that we see this virus spread. But one of the great things about horror movies is they end, and this kind of takes us all the way through this scenario until the end. So if you are freaked out in the middle of watching this movie, and you probably will be, my main suggestion is just keep watching.
Well, we can talk about the freak out factor, Pamela. We can talk about what draws people toward a film like Contagion right now. From your position as a media psychologist, what do you think this movie is providing for people other than just the uncanny feeling that somebody was so prescient that they kind of nailed reality?
I think there's a couple of different things going on. One is that we do not have a mental model or an understanding of what a pandemic looks like. And so the worst thing you can do in terms of managing your anxiety is have all this unknown. So a movie like this gives us some way of thinking about what is this pandemic. And the more real to life it is, the more, anxiety you're creating. But As you all have pointed out, this is a movie. This whole pandemic is over in an hour and 46 minutes. So you have the relief, the dopamine, you know, the serotonin of the resolution. You have Matt Damon, everybody's hero, telling you it's going to be okay. So there's that great reassurance at the end. It's very true to life. You're scared out of your mind. And now, you know, and now you're okay. So I think it really functions as proof that we're going to make it through. And so there's a lot of theories about how people use movies to manage emotion, to be able to take them through that story arc, experience that the anxiety for the payoff of the resolution. Hmm.
Lauren writes, I will admit to having watched Contagion on the first night of our family's quarantine because I needed something to scare me straight into taking this seriously. One listener writes, even though I'm eagerly scanning streaming services for something, really anything, to fill the hours of social distancing, I will not be watching Contagion. After reading a plot summary, I think it's just a little too close to what we're experiencing right now. There's so much we don't know about how this might end, so I don't want a fictional movie to make me worry even more. And Rebecca says, I think the reason people watch movies about pandemics right now is the same reason people watch any other movie, play, or show. We crave these stories to help us make sense of the world around us. So, John, you talked a little bit, we have talked about the realism of this movie, but you talked a little bit about the research, the scientific research that goes into the accuracy of this movie. We should note, by the way, that the chief medical consultant on the film is Dr. W. Ian Lipkin, who has contracted COVID-19 himself in real life. Last Tuesday, he shared his diagnosis on Fox Business. Here's part of what he had to say.
I would just like to say on this show tonight that this has become very personal for me, too, because I have COVID as of yesterday, and it is miserable.
I heard you cough. I didn't want to be a hypochondriac and say, I hope you don't have it, but you do.
It can hit me. It can hit anybody. That's the message I want to convey.
Ian Lipkin with Lou Dobbs there. John, but the research that went into this film to give it its sense of realism, talk about that.
I mean, they obviously were very concerned about the science, and there's so few movies that are operating on this kind of genre level that they get their science right. The other night, my family and I watched 2012, which is a horrifically over-the-top disaster movie from 2009 that's just making crazy stuff up. And it's really fun. If you want to watch a disaster movie that isn't nearly as serious as Contagion, you can check out 2012. But this is a movie that isn't going to talk down to the audience. It's very specific about how things are spread, about how vaccines are developed, about how animal testing works. And it's also important, I think, that all of the people who are really out there on the front lines are people, and they're almost all women, Jennifer Ely, Kate Winslet, and Marion Cotillard, who are doing their jobs. It's very specific about people working at the CDC, the WHO, epidemiologists, who are just doing what they do in their professional lives, in their fictional lives. So I think it's very important that it's talking not only about how this disease is spread and how it originates. The last minute of the movie is amazing in terms of how patient zero develops the virus. But it's also really good about how we treat a virus. And it's important, I think, that the government really isn't a factor in any of this. These are government agencies. They're private individuals who are really going about trying to find a solution and a cure. Feels a little close to home that way, that the government isn't quite sure what's going on. It isn't taking a leadership role. But these other doctors and epidemiologists are.
Oracle tweets, the movie Contagion is 100% spot on and a superb instructional resource because it depicts almost exactly how things are playing out right now, with one exception. The wild card of divisive politics is not thrown into the mix, Sam Adams. That's Oracle's point of view.
Right. I mean, one thing, this movie is in a lot of ways a worst case scenario. I mean, you're dealing with a virus in this movie that I think has something like between a 20 and 30% fatality rate, which is much higher than what we're dealing with COVID-19, fortunately. One of the ways in which it seems optimistic, and this is a 10-year-old movie, is that there's one major source of disinformation in the movie, and it's this one blogger played by Jude Law, who was the first person to kind of track this viral video of one of the first victims of the virus, and then starts pushing this bogus herbal supplement called Forsythia, which he touts as this kind of miracle cure. what we're seeing in real life 10 years later is that this disinformation is being spread by some, you know, major news networks and websites, people at the highest levels of government. It's a much bigger problem for us than it is for the people in Contagion.
Now, you talk about this character that Jude Law plays, Alan Crumwitty, who likes to spread conspiracy theories in the film. Take a listen.
The studies show that there is no proof that Forsythia works.
Who conducted the studies? What defines works? Against what strain of the virus?
Did you know about the studies when we met the last time? We can get in a lot of trouble.
You really think this Dr. Hextall CDC person is Jesus in a lab coat? The government rushed the trials. The lawyers indemnified the drug companies. Maybe it causes autism or narcolepsy or cancer 10 years from now. Who knows? The swine flu vaccine killed people back in 1976. Nerve disease. So we're all guinea pigs starting from today. Just wait. They'll start listing side effects like the credits at the end of a movie.
Jude Law plays a blogger there pushing a non-proven therapy called Forsythia. John, Sam makes a great point. Steven Soderbergh has a habit in his films of taking a phenomenon or a class of people and distilling it down to one character. That's Alan Crumwitty, played by Jude Law. But today we would have thousands of Crumwitties across social media and on cable news.
Yeah, there's also a great line that Elliot Gould's character says about Jude Law's character. He says, blogging is not writing, it's graffiti with punctuation, which in some ways I think is ahead of the curve in terms of how information is spread on social media. It doesn't feel like this is a movie that has a huge political agenda. And I think that's kind of echoing what Sam was pointing out, that yes, there are certainly different politics at play now, but I think what Soderbergh and Scott Burns, the screenwriter, do with Jude Law's character is they really kind of boil it down to somebody who is not only spreading disinformation, but is going to try to make a lot of money off of that information. So just as people were kind of hoarding hand sanitizer on eBay, here's somebody who is selling this quack cure for Scythia, but unbeknownst to a lot of people, he has a financial interest in its success, and he's ultimately caught by the government that is trying to track people who are exploiting the pandemic.
Marina says, everyone just wants to see Matt Damon try to survive the apocalypse. And Blackadder says, now I know what to watch on Wednesday when I'm donating platelets. Thanks, John. My guests are John Horn, host of KPCC's The Frame, Sam Adams, senior editor of culture at Slate, and media psychologist Pamela Rutledge. More on Contagion in just a moment. It's 1A.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Home Instead Senior Care. Bonnie, a Home Instead caregiver, knows that building trust is essential to forging strong relationships with her Home Instead clients.
I seen the ad in the paper and I called, and 3 days after I was hired, I was with my very first client. You've got to have patience in order to be a good caregiver. You've got to build up the trust.
I just love it. I couldn't ask for a better job or a better client.
To learn more or to search for available senior care job opportunities with Home Instead Senior Care, visit homeinstead.com.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or perfect strangers? Get the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle so you can share what you know. On the News Roundup, find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
When the economy goes haywire and you need a podcast to turn to, Planet Money is here for you.
Are we already in a recession?
There's no question that we are about to enter a period of substantial slowdown in the economy.
Listen to NPR's Planet Money, emergency podcasts whenever the news demands it.
Back now to our movie club review of the 2011 thriller Contagion with John Horn, host of KPCC's The Frame, Sam Adams, the senior editor of culture for Slate, and media psychologist Pamela Rutledge. Skip says, one of my favorite things about the film was the fact that day one was saved for the end. And Sarah tweets, as a resident of Minneapolis, it didn't help my anxiety, that's for sure. John, I want to get back real quickly on the character of Crumwitty, played by Jude Law. Now, just to remind people, he's out there. He's a blogger, kind of a conspiracy theorist. He's sort of a distillation, an amalgamation of misinformation on the internet 2011 style, not 2020 style, when it would be much more diffuse. Now, you mentioned that this film doesn't really have much of a political agenda, and that's true. One striking difference I caught in this movie from the fiction to the reality is that Crumwitty is just trying to be popular and just trying to make money off of a fake cure. It's kind of isolated to that. But you watch this movie and you can't help but think, not of some scammy blogger, but in reality, the president of the United States, because he's been repeatedly cheerleading for a malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, as a cure for COVID-19, while experts are going behind him saying there's no proof that this works. There is a parallel there that to me was a little disturbing.
Your words, not mine. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, I think part of what this movie is trafficking in is information and disinformation, and that kind of nature abhors a vacuum, and into that vacuum come people selling, you know, quack cures like Jude Law's character. Certainly we have seen that not only coming out of the White House, but certainly other people, you know, ahead of the curve. I mean, if you were watching, you know, Fox News, if you're reading the Wall Street Journal editorial pages, there were a lot of people very early on, it's like, this is overblown, we don't have to worry about it, let's just not self-isolate, that will hurt business. So a lot of the things that are happening today in some way are echoed by what happens in Contagion. And it's also, I think, important that what that information is, that people don't really know how to interpret it. They don't know what it is they should be doing. They don't know whether or not they should be going out. That just as today, you know, there are still people who are going to like Liberty University, that there are people who don't know how it is they should be behaving in a safe and responsible manner. And that's certainly reflected in Contagion, because nobody is really sure about what people should and should not do.
Pamela, what does this movie tell us about how hungry people are for information in a crisis, and then how much more vulnerable that can make them to misinformation?
Well, I think it tells us a lot. And I think one of the benefits of this movie is that it does present science and the world of scientists in a very positive light. And that's been one of the big conflicts that we've been seeing, is the sort of undermining of science to a political agenda. And so I think in that sense, this movie is very positive. But the one thing that people crave in times of uncertainty is information. And this lack of information and conflicting information does a lot of damage to the country at large. And so one of the things this movie does not address, because it ends in a movie amount of time, is the long-term implications of uncertainty, social isolation, and the potential for that having a sort of PTSD-type light effect on people at large. And so I think it's going to be that echo effect of this experience that has an extraordinary impact.
Now, Pamela, a lot of people are wondering whether it's appropriate for certain age groups to watch Contagion. Dan wants to know, is it okay for teens and preteens? And on that note, Lori asks, I have no intention of watching this movie, but do you think it will convince my 17-year-old, who's a big movie buff, to stay the heck at home? If so, I will encourage him to watch it. What ages do you think are appropriate for Contagion, given the content of the movie?
Well, first of all, there are no hard and fast rules. I mean, parents really have to make judgments about the maturity of their children, no matter what the media or the technology or whatever. But I do think that, because here we're all home alone, watch it together, have conversations, and use this as an opportunity. The science in this is very good. People do not understand epidemiology, not a big shock, but kids do understand a viral video. So if you can make these sort of connections to things they do get, so if they can understand how something spreads in a context of what they know, they'll start to understand the implications of their part or their role in this sort of larger issue of public health.
One thing I really like in that regard about this movie, look, we've seen lots of disaster movies. Many disaster movies will put you, you know, in the middle of the crowd when the riot happens. And there's a little bit of that in this film. But what I love about this movie is that it puts you from the point of view of the public health interventionist, the epidemiologist, and those trying to solve this problem. When the bad stuff happens, you have the point of view to know what they're really trying to manage, and that all these other effects on society are things things for the experts to try and manage, John. I really love the fact that it sits you for a lot of the film from the perspective of the public health officials.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is important, and Lori mentioned this in her message, you know, Matt Damon's character very early on loses his wife and a kid, and he has a daughter, and they are sheltered in place. And he is very adamant that even though she really wants to hang out with her boyfriend, she can't. It is dangerous. And she thinks he's an unreasonable dad. He is doing what a lot of people should be doing now. It's like, no exceptions. You can't go outside. You will get to see this guy at some point in the future. And I think that's really important. And the other thing I would add is that if you find yourself enjoying Contagion, I want to recommend a couple other movies that are similar in tone, in terms of world ending, but great artistry, 2006's Children of Men and 2002's 28 Days Later. So if you like to see the world ending in a very artistic way, not just Contagion, Children of Men and 28 Days Later would be my other picks.
Now, Sam, you mentioned that you had an interview with Scott Z. Burns, who's the screenwriter of Contagion and a longtime collaborator with Steven Soderbergh. What did he share with you about the film's sort of comeback and resonance right now?
Well, he's like me, I think a lot of people seeing a lot of resonance right now. Of course, there's the relationship to the current pandemic, and the fact that, you know, it was 10 years ago when he was writing this movie, and all the stuff that we're hearing now about, you know, fomites and washing your hands and social distancing, staying 10 feet apart from people, which is what they say in the movie. It was all there 10 years ago. And this is not because these people were amazing seers and predicted the future, but because epidemiologists have been saying for decades that this kind of thing was going to happen and it was only a matter of time. But he also, one of Scott Burns' first credits was as a producer on the movie An Inconvenient Truth. And I think, like a lot of people, he's seeing a parallel to the climate crisis now. And that's something that where instead of, you know, 2 weeks with no symptoms, we're looking at, you know, maybe 50 or 100 years until things get really bad. And we're just trying to game out. If we can't think 2 weeks ahead and take the precautions we need to stop something like this, how are we going to take those necessary steps for the environment? So that's a really troubling parallel, but maybe if we're lucky, a moment of clarity that we can pull out of this situation. That is, it's pretty hard to find a silver lining right now, but if one does emerge, that might be it.
Teresa tweets, understanding the concept of R naught has really helped me understand and accept our current quarantine requirements. R naught is essentially the contagiousness of a virus. And there's a great scene with Kate Winslet's character where she explains R naught to a bunch of county executives or I guess their PR people talking about their message on the Contagion in the movie. And Joe says people are watching Contagion today to improve their emotional and intellectual awareness about COVID-19 by experiencing this artistic depiction of an uncannily similar situation. In his Poetics, Aristotle referred to this improving effect as catharsis. Pamela, what do you think about that? Do you think there's some therapy here? In the film, government institutions, they work diligently, they develop and distribute a vaccine. There is some faith in institutions, although definitely at times it's certainly shaky. Science eventually wins the day. Is there some therapy involved in watching this for those of us who are feeling uncertain?
Well, there's always therapy in watching movies in art, right? In other words, it's a reflection of our experience and our ability to experience emotion. The sort of cathartic theory argues that we experience all this emotion that it gives us some, we'll call it existential comfort. You have a very erudite audience that we can deal with these difficult things and get through, that we can sort of shed off some of this hyper emotion, which is really important, because if you're super freaked out, you don't think, right? Then you're hoarding toilet paper instead of making rational decisions and trying to figure out what's the smart thing to do. But I certainly agree with you all that this is a really important message for trying to explain to the people who don't understand their role in a system how important it is that they stay home, stay safe, and don't accidentally kill somebody else.
It's the 1A Movie Club. We're talking about Contagion. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's 1A.
Hey, Hey, Mindy here from the Wow in the World Science Podcast for kids and families. If you're looking for fun ways to educate and entertain your kids, we've got you covered 5 days a week. On Mondays, go on a scientific adventure with Wow in the World, and Tuesdays through Fridays, play along with our new game show, To What's in a Wow. It's Wow in the World from Tinkercast and NPR. Subscribe and listen now.
Well, gang, since Contagion went viral, the cast of the movie has come together for a virtual reunion. They started making PSAs about COVID-19 in collaboration with the School of Public Health at Columbia University. Here's Matt Damon. He's one of the stars of the movie who he plays the husband of someone who dies from the disease. He had this to say in his PSA.
You can actually sit on the couch or in a chair like I'm doing and watch TV and save a life. At the same time, you can work from home, you can use social media to communicate, you can save a few more. Now is the time to spend all the time you want staring at your phone or your tablet. And if anybody gives you a hard time about it, tell them not to bother you because you are saving lives.
Sam, there's Matt Damon and there are other PSAs from other members of the cast really trying to use this moment to convince people that the message in the film, stay home, save lives, be socially distant, can actually really make a difference.
It's very striking to me that in the moment where, in, say, World War II, people were being asked to, you know, plant a victory garden or buy war bonds, now there are all these public service announcements from these celebrities and public figures that are just saying, don't leave your house. Just stay home. That's all the self-sacrifice that's required right now.
Very, very, very little Matt Damon reminding people they can just stay home on their couch. John, what about the ending of this film? And I say again, we're blowing up the spoiler rules entirely because this film is nearly 10 years old. The ending of this film, John has a vaccine. People are starting to get it. The world is starting to return. I won't say to normal. There's a strong message here that the world starts to recover, but it doesn't say return to status quo ante. It says return to something else.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's kind of most haunting in a way. I mean, I think, and also the scope of the virus in this movie is not only is it deadlier, a lot more people die, like millions upon millions of Americans die, many more around the globe. But there's a scene with Dimitri Martin, who with Jennifer Ely plays an epidemiologist. And toward the end of the movie, they are kind of freezing away, the vaccine for the fictional virus in this film. And there are some real viruses in it. And it looks like there are all of these tanks. And they have more room, that what they're freezing away for future use is not a one-off, that there are going to be other epidemics and pandemics, and that somebody else is going to have to come up with a cure for what's next. So it does have some resolution, but it also suggests there's another thing right around the corner. We don't know what it is, and all of those empty freezer units in this room are going to be filled with some other vaccine or some other treatment for the next thing that comes. So in some ways, it says, yes, we're through with this. We're out of it. The world has changed fundamentally, but it's going to happen all over again. And that's where I think the movie is, in some ways, the most terrifying. Like, this is not just one and done. This is the beginning of a sequence or the latest installment of what Hollywood loves, like a sequel. But there's going to be another story along this line sometime in the very near future.
The film is Contagion. And one of the things that will just hit you over the head when you watch this is that it is 9 years old. You'll think, my God, how did they step into a time machine to make this movie? John Horn is the vice president of our 1A Movie Club. He's also host of KPC's He's the Frame. John, always great to have you.
Stay safe and healthy.
And at home, Sam Adams is the senior editor of Culture at Slate. Sam, thanks to you.
Thank you so much.
And Pamela Rutledge is a media psychologist and the director of the Media Psychology Research Center. Pamela, thanks to you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, before we take off for the day, it's time for today's act of kindness. Every show, we ask you to call us with acts of kindness and solidarity from your community, acts of generosity that you're seeing all around you every day. Today's story is from Iris, who's in Lakewood, Colorado.
I don't even know how to begin to describe how wonderful my neighbors have been. I am over 80. And everybody wants me to isolate myself, and I am doing that. This virus is scary. But I couldn't do it without them. When they go grocery shopping, they call me, do you need anything? Shovel my driveway when it snows. And it's made me so appreciative of the neighborhood I live in and how wonderful people can be in a time of need.
Iris, thank you so much for that story from your neighbors in your community. We want your acts of kindness and empathy. They can be directly from coronavirus. They can have nothing to do with it at all. 855-236-1212. This conversation was produced by Catherine Fink and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, you can visit the website at the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU. It's part of American University in Washington. It's distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for being with us. This is 1A.